live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 14th day of July, 2026. Before I introduce you to my first-time guest and our topic for the day, I want you to mark your calendars for our program tomorrow. I'm delighted to have returning to the program my friend, Pastor Tom Buck. Tom is the pastor of First Baptist Church of Lyndale, Texas, and he's going to be giving us updates on all the recent, very important and controversial votes that took place at the most recent Southern Baptist Convention, and we'll be having him give his commentary on where he believes the denomination is headed and so on. So make sure you mark that down on your calendar to listen tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But I am thrilled to have a first-time guest today. I was contacted by the publisher of this brother's latest book, Ambassador International, and when they explained to me the theme of his book, which has an extremely controversial title, when I read of his background, I said to myself, yeah, I'm going to definitely give this brother an interview. His name is Michael Husky. He is a former SWAT team leader. He's a Christian author, speaker, and apologist. And today we're going to be addressing the theme of his book, Tear Down the Church: The Ideas of Man Versus the Word of God. We're also going to be answering the question, did the downgrade that Charles Spurgeon waged war against ever go away? But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Michael Husky.
Hello.
It's great to...
Pleasure to be on you.
Yeah, it's great to make your acquaintance, brother. We have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So let's hear your story.
Yeah, so I was born into a pastor's home. My dad was an Assembly of God pastor, so it was a charismatic home. It was very Arminian. It was very, I would say, legalistic in a lot of ways. You know, and plus it was in the South too. So back then, you know, it was a sin to play cards or go to the movies or dance or any of those things, right?
And I'll bet you those prohibitions are few and far between in this day and age in the Assembly of God.
Yeah. I don't think it's as bad as it once was. It seems like, especially in that part of the country, it was pretty legalistic. during my childhood, but things I think have improved. But I was raised in a Christian home, but I don't ever really remembering being discipled. My dad, he didn't take the time to disciple me or even teach me the Bible. It was it was more just assumed, you know. And so it was, like I said, it was more about the rules. It was more about being obedient and those type of things in my childhood and even in the church. And so I don't ever remember hearing the gospel, you know, whenever I was younger. And even though I believed myself to be saved during that, you know, when I was younger, probably about 7 years old, I prayed the sinner's prayer. Yeah. And in that type of church, there's no surety of salvation. You lose your salvation every time you sin. So again and again, I would walk the aisle and rededicate myself to the Lord, you know, and that was pretty much all the way up until I was in my 20s. That's kind of the environment that I was raised in. That was just the way that I thought Christianity was. I really didn't know any different because that's all I had ever been taught. And so I really do not believe that I was a Christian during that time. I thought I was, but the evidence just, there was no fruit. There was no fruit and there was no real desire to really get to know God. And even to read my Bible, you know, I read my Bible, but it was more about reading it because I knew that that was the right thing to do instead of reading it because I loved Jesus Christ. And so that's the way that I was all the way up until I got married. And I actually met my wife at a Word of Faith church. So it got a little bit worse. Yeah. It got a little bit worse. And I found her, started dating her in that church. We wound up getting married. And, you know, whenever I was in that church with her, I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't know exactly what it was because, again, I hadn't been taught. I had no really Christian education, but I just knew something wasn't right. And so I told my wife, I said, you know, I think we should find another church. And so we started looking around and we found it was a little non-denominational church in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And the pastor had come
from... I have a friend who pastors there right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jeremiah Nortier is a pastor of 12-5 Church in Jonesboro, Arkansas, which is a Reformed Baptist church.
Yeah, I know Jeremiah.
Okay, you didn't know he was from Jonesboro?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know him personally, but we've communicated back and forth on email and that type of thing. So, so anyway, that's where I'm from, and so we it's not where I live now. I live in Colorado, but that's where we lived at that time. And so I started going to that. We started going to this little non-denominational church that was had a Southern Baptist pastor that was preaching there. But, you know, it still wasn't expositional teaching. It was still very topical teaching. But it was a place where I began to learn. And he decided that he wanted to start investing in some of the men of the church and create a leadership board there. And his idea was kind of like the model that Jesus had, where you have 12, you know, people, and then you have like the inner circle, the three. And so he wanted to start discipling three young men in the church that he wanted to kind of raise up as leaders. And so I was one of the three that he invited to participate. And again, I honestly don't believe I was a Christian at the time, which is very interesting. So as I began to meet and go over all of the curriculum, all of the discipleship stuff that he wanted to teach us, there was a point where he kind of got through all of it. And there was still a little bit of time before he started bringing the other men in to start discipling them for leadership. And so he decided that he wanted to just start going verse by verse through the book of Matthew. And that's the first time in my life. So by this time, I'm in my 30s. Okay. I'm in my early 30s. And this was the first time in my life that I have been exposed to any kind of expositional teaching. And whenever he started doing that, just walking through scripture verse by verse, God really got a hold of my heart in a way that I can't explain. For the first time, I became desperately hungry to want to read the Bible, to want to study, to want to learn and to grow. And honestly, I believe that it was during that time that I was actually saved. Because of the way that I was raised, and I said the sinner's prayer so many times in that type of environment, I can't put my finger on it. But in my mind, it was in that moment that God got a hold. He really got a hold of my heart for the first time and gave me a burning desire to want to serve him, to want to learn about him. And man, I was hungry. I wanted to learn everything that I could about the Bible. And even that's where I started getting off into learning about theology and doctrine and, even questioning things, because I realized that a lot of the things that I was taught as a child, being brought up in a Christian home, were really wrong. I was taught a lot of things incorrectly. And it caused me at that time to start questioning everything. So I started going back and looking at, what's justification? What's sanctification? Just the basic stuff, because that's all I really knew. And just trying to really understand biblically what each one of those things meant. But yeah, that's my salvation story.
And how did you come to discover and embrace specifically the doctrines of Reformed theology?
Okay, so as I was a member of that church, that little Baptist church, and I started listening to, this was the time that smartphones just came out. I mean, they had just came out. And some friends of mine introduced me to podcasts. And so I started listening to sermons, but the sermons that I was listening to, it was still in my camp, right? And my camp was very Arminian and it was very charismatic. And so, but what's really interesting, I ran a business during that time. And so I was able to listen to preaching all day long, pretty much 8 to 10 hours a day. And so if I was listening to a preacher, I would hear 8 to 10 weeks of his sermons that day, right? Where, like, if you're just sitting under that type of teaching, you don't pick up on things. But when you're listening to it back to back for hours every day, I started picking up on things and I started seeing contradictions in a lot of the things that they said from week to week. And so slowly I started rooting out those programs that I listened to the point to where I was actually frustrated. I couldn't find anybody to listen to that I felt like it was consistent, right? And so through my frustrations, I was at the Christian bookstore, Lifeway. They had a Lifeway bookstore there in Jonesboro. And I kept seeing this author, and his name was John MacArthur, right? But I've been taught that this guy's a Calvinist. And in my circle, Calvinism was looked at like, like it was wicked and evil. It was something that that was just not liked at all. But I was curious. And so I decided I would download some of John MacArthur's sermons and start listening to them. And I did. And as I started listening to them, of course, I didn't agree with everything at first. But what I found was that from week to week, month to month, year to year, everything he said was consistent, it was accurate, And I never heard any contradictions. I never heard him contradict himself like I was the other pastors. And so God began to draw me to a better understanding of his word during that time. I wasn't there yet, but that's where it started. And just there was at one point as I was listening to him, God started honing my discernment. I started, because of the way that I was raised, I started really seeing a lot of things that was done in the church that that just wasn't right and was even contradictory to what Scripture teaches. And so that little church that I was at, I started seeing some things that were that had a lot of mysticism that was kind of incorporated into the teaching. And that caused me to want to find a better church. I still, wasn't reformed yet, but I wanted something that exposited Scripture verse by verse. That's what I was looking for. And so I kind of found a halfway in between, right? And I found a Calvary Chapel.
Certainly not Calvinist.
Yeah. So I started going to Calvary Chapel, which exposited the Scripture verse by verse. And this particular pastor at this church was, he was actually a Calvinist, which
really?
Is very strange. Yeah, very strange for a Calvary Chapel church, but he was. And so he even had membership, which is something that they typically don't do. He called it covenant membership, but it was, they had elders. They had membership, and he was a Calvinist, which was so strange, to me.
Do you know if he's still a pastor in the Calvary Chapel? Because they historically have not tolerated that very long.
Well, I don't think he's real open about that. But, but he's the one that I started going to lunch with him twice a day because I was so hungry, and I was always asking him questions about doctrine and theology, and he was discipling me. And I remember coming to him one day and saying, his name was Pastor John. Pastor John, I know you teach assurance of salvation, but I just don't believe that. I just don't believe in assurance of salvation, because I've been taught my whole life that that was wrong. And man, he set me down and really straightened me out. And he did it in a kind way, but it was very firm. It was very firm. And he showed me where I was wrong. And again, that was just another step toward seeing the truth of Scripture. And there was a youth pastor that was in that church, and he was a big R.C. Sproul fan. And he introduced me to the holiness of God. And whenever I started reading that book for the first time, man, that just got a hold of me. I mean, it really opened my eyes to the sovereignty of God and who God is as a person. And I discovered that the sovereignty of God wasn't scary. It was always scary before, as an Arminian. It was something that, I felt like that, just like most Arminians do, that God was some kind of a monster or something if he controlled all things. But through reading that book, The Holiness of God by Sproul, it just really opened my eyes to the beauty and the comfort of the sovereignty of God. And man, I wanted to learn so much from Sproul. And that's really the two guys that I really kind of leaned very heavily on in trying to understand doctrine and trying to understand theology. And so, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, praise God.
Yeah. And so eventually we moved to Colorado, and when we moved here, I just really, so I don't know how long you want me to talk about this. I could tell you a lot.
Take your time.
Whenever we first moved to Colorado, I tried to find another Calvary Chapel because I thought all Calvary Chapels was like this one, And so I found one. Yeah. I found one and started going to it. And I started doing the same thing with this pastor that I was with the one back in Jonesboro. And I wanted to disciple. I wanted to talk. I wanted to, you know, bounce ideas off of him and all those things. And I just learned that he got frustrated with me because he didn't believe anything that he didn't agree with me. Right. And he couldn't stand John MacArthur. And, I remember one of the conversations he asked me, he said, well, you don't believe in lordship salvation, do you? I said, well, I do. And he said, well, why? That's just a wicked teaching. And I said, well, what do you disagree about? What do you think is wrong about it? And I remember he said, well, I don't know, but I heard it was bad.
That's the pastor you're saying?
Yeah. So, and then later on during that conversation, he got frustrated with me and he kind of raised his voice and he said, you're just a Calvinist. And then he literally got up and left. And that was the first time in my life that anybody had ever called me a Calvinist. And it was, you know, I actually went home and thought about that. And after thinking about what he said and thinking about what I believe, all of a sudden I realized, you know, he's right. he's right. I am. So that's kind of my story, right? That's my journey to kind of get to Reformed theology to where I'm at today.
Why don't you tell us a little something about the church that you have now found as your home, where you are a member, Celebration Church, which is in Montrose, Colorado. Tell us about this.
Yeah. So Celebration Church is, it's a Southern Baptist church, but the pastor is Reformed. He's a Reformed Baptist. We kind of discovered this church when we first moved here. I have a friend that had a little Reformed Baptist church in Gunnison, Colorado. His name was Pastor Ralph Pohl. And I was talking to him about my frustrations in trying to find a church. I couldn't find a place that I really agreed with everything that was being taught, or at least the majority. It's hard to find a church where you'd agree with everything, but at least the majority of what was being taught and what I believe, right? And so he called me and told me about Celebration Church. And I told him, I said, you know, I researched this church, and I said, I was on their website, and I disagree with them. and so he said, well, he said, yeah, but they got a new pastor. And he said, and this new pastor is a Reformed pastor. He said, I really think you should call him and just get to know him. And so I did. I called him on the phone and kind of quizzed him, you know, in a lot of ways interviewed him, because it's very important to me. It's a priority as to what church that I belong to. And so he answered, you know, everything to where we were mostly in agreement on theology and on doctrine. And so I started going there. So yeah, it's a Southern Baptist church. It's a Southern Baptist church that that teaches Reformed theology. It's expositional teaching, you know, verse by verse teaching, which is what I'm always looking for. And they've got a really good elder board and discipleship program. And so it's something that I'm also involved in. I teach there and currently teaching Christology. Actually, just started teaching Christology this past Sunday for one of the Sunday school classes.
Oh, praise God. Well, if anybody lives in the Montrose, Colorado area, or if you're planning on visiting that area on vacation or for business, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones who live there, go to celebrationmontrose.org, celebrationmontrose.org, and God willing, we will repeat that later on in the program. Tell us about your livelihood as a SWAT team leader. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, so that was something that I just, I thought would be cool. You know? when you're young, you know, you thought that. I thought it would be really, really cool. You know, it'd be a cool story. And so I tried out when I was younger, and I wound up surprisingly getting on the team. It was a very intimidating interview. There was a panel of about 20 guys in bleachers, and they had a little kindergarten chair that they had set in front of them. They try to intimidate you, you know? And so you have to go sit in this little kindergarten chair that you can't even fit in. And then they just, they pretty much interrogate you. But somehow I got through it, and they put me on the team. So I was on the team for about 7 years. And
now, were you already on the police force when you were?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Yeah. You have to be on the police force for 2 years. And so I just crossed my 2 years. I think it was just previous to my 2 years when I had my interview. So I was right around the 2 year mark whenever they put me on the team. It was very interesting. It was very interesting. It was another one of those milestone moments of life where, you know, you start to read a lot about David. You start reading a lot about David. I know I did.
Now, is there anything that you could say, not that this is going to be our main focus today, is there anything you could say that you learned from your experiences as a SWAT team leader that have been proven in your life to be very helpful and beneficial and fruitful in the Christian walk?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So much of it is simple as just learning how to depend on God, especially when you're going into situations that you don't know if you're going to come out of. Life or death things. You never know what's behind a door that you're kicking in. You're going into all kinds of situation. And so just, you know, that pressure, that feeling is intense, especially leading up to it. You know, once you're in the moment, it's not. You become like a machine. You just run. But man, the drive there is the time that you have to think, and the time to learn, you know, this life could end at any moment, and just relying on God to be there and to protect you, and being okay even if he doesn't, being okay knowing that whether it is good or bad, that God's in control of the situation. And he's good, and all that he does is right for his people. So that, you know, that was one of the things that I really learned. Another thing I would say is just structure, and also being a part of a team. You know, those I would say would be the three highlights of things that really helped me in my Christian journey, and even in being a leader even within a local church.
And can you, before we go to our first commercial break, share with us any specific anecdote or story about something that happened while on the job?
Well, there's a lot of that stuff I probably don't feel real comfortable talking about. I'm trying to think of something quickly that I could talk about, and right now nothing's coming to mind other than things that you probably don't want to hear.
Okay, well, I'm all ears, whatever you want to tell me, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to the first commercial break, and if there's anything you want to share by the time we come back, feel free to do so, and I'm not going to force you to, but...
Right.
We're going to be right back after these messages. And if anybody has a question of your own that you'd like to ask of my guest, Michael Husky, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Michael Husky right after these messages.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hello, this is Brian Nyan, president of Hearts for the Lost Ministry. Our sole mission is to serve the local church and work directly with and alongside pastors and elders with their efforts to equip, excite, and educate their flock in biblical evangelism. We also provide practical experience opportunities in sharing the gospel directly within your immediate community. We accomplish this mission with training and Christ-centered outreach events designed to equip the church and proclaim the good news of the gospel. Our services are always 100% free. If you're looking to equip and mobilize your church for faithful gospel witness, please partner with us. Hearts for the Lost Ministry, serving the church, proclaiming the gospel. Contact us today at heartsforthelost.com. That's heartsforthelost.com. Now, have a heart and go share your faith.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, we have what I am sure is going to be a fascinating guest today, Michael Husky, who is the author of Tear Down the Church, quite a provocative and controversial title. And if you have any questions for Michael, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a very personal and private matter. And we are also going to be seeking to address the downgrade controversy that is something that Charles Spurgeon waged war against in his day in the 19th century. Some believe that actually led to his untimely death at a relatively young age. And we're going to be hearing about how that manifests itself today, that controversy. And before the break, I was asking you if you wanted to share with us any story or anecdote from your time as a SWAT team leader with the police. And did you come to a conclusion yet whether you want to share anything?
I can tell a funny story.
Okay.
So we got called out It was a drug warrant. And we kicked in this person's door and tossed a flashbang in. And, of course, yelled police, you know, and all those things. And we all came in the house. When we came in, the couch was on fire. Because the flashbang actually rolled under the couch.
Is that like a smoke bomb, a flashbang?
No, it's not a smoke bomb. It's just it's like a grenade, but it just makes a real loud sound. It makes a flash, right?
Okay.
Kind of knocks somebody off, you know, stun somebody somewhat or throw them off, whatever it is that they were doing. It's a distraction device. But it had rolled under the couch and it went off and it actually caught the couch on fire. So two officers actually had to grab the couch and carry it out in the yard and let it burn while we were finishing our warrant. So I can share that.
Well, as I've been repeating during my introduction and the first commentary I gave in the beginning of the program, the book that you have written has an extremely controversial and provocative title, Tear Down the Church, subtitle being a lot more easily understood, the ideas of man versus the word of God. People may immediately race to an erroneous conclusion that you're promoting some kind of Christian anarchism or that you are one of these folks, and there are an unfortunate considerable number of folks who don't believe that Christians must be members of local congregations with elders, and some of them might even believe that it's a sin to be a member of a church in the modern age. And I know that you do not believe that. We've already addressed that you are a member and teaching Sunday school at Celebration Church in Montrose, Colorado. In fact, you told me before the program started that you have prayerful aspirations to possibly become a pastor yourself. So explain the language of that title. It is definitely eye-catching, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you know, that was the point. As I was trying to come up with an idea for the title of the book, I wanted something that would cause somebody that was walking by and saw it laying there to want to pick it up and to kind of see what does this mean. And I did kind of anticipate that it may be initially picked up as being something that they may be repulsed by, right? But as I read the back cover and the introduction, that it would draw the person into understanding what it is that the book's really about. And so a lot of it was just, the title was just to call attention to it, right? To want somebody to want to read it. Yeah, that's what I came up with. I don't know if it was a great idea or a terrible idea.
Well, is there a sense, and perhaps we'll get to this after you answer another question, is there a sense in which the philosophy and worldview and blueprint of many modern evangelical churches that would really, if we're going to be biblically faithful, these churches need to be torn down? I don't mean the buildings. And they need to start again from the ground up using the Bible as a blueprint. But we could get into that after more explaining or get explaining in more detail the subtitle of your book, which is The Ideas of Man versus the Word of God. And from what I understand, the downgrade controversy that I mentioned earlier, that Charles Haddon Spurgeon faced and waged war against in the 19th century, was somewhat of an inspiration behind your writing of this book. Perhaps you could tell our listeners exactly what that was, the downgrade controversy.
Yeah, absolutely. The downgrade controversy really all started with the Roman Catholic Church. Of course, we know that Martin Luther was a priest then, right, or a monk within the Augustinian monastery there with the Roman Catholic Church. And whenever they started selling indulgences, that was one of the things that really kind of sparked the Reformation. And from there, God really opened Luther's eyes to seeing the truth of Scripture, particularly justification, and understanding that what he'd been taught, much like myself, was not correct, right? It was moralism, legalism. And so, of course, we know Luther's story. I don't think you want me to fully go into detail, but more of what sparked the Reformation and what he called the downgrade was all of those issues that was happening and the corruption that was going on during that time in the church. And so you pretty much hit the nail on the head whenever you were talking about the title of this book, because that's what I had in mind as I began to write this book, was, you know, things really haven't changed much. Some ideologies have changed, some methods have changed, but the root of the problem, it still remains. There's a lot of wrong teachings in the church today, particularly when it comes to moralism and legalism, such as during Luther's day, but also so much more, because now we're getting into the things like entertainment. You know, people go to church to be entertained, not really to learn and to grow in their knowledge and understanding of God, which of course brings to the Christian heart and mind gratitude, a sense of purpose. And a lot of times you don't even know what your purpose is whenever you go to church, and in a lot of places in America and really all over the world, because church has become about other things besides edifying the church, you know, learning who Jesus Christ is, finding him on every page of Scripture, using him as being everything to us, our example, our model, our Savior, our Lord, and helping the Christian to grow in their sanctification, right? And not throwing all those things out of balance. You know, it seems like so many churches are out of balance today. They go too far with things as far as moralism, as I said, or they're so loose with things, and they're so much about just God as love, that God can literally be anything that you want him to be, and he's okay with any type of lifestyle that you want to live. So a lot of those ideas, just as you said with the title of this book, do need to be torn down. Not the church, but those ideas. We need to get back to what Scripture says that church is about. We need to get back to understanding that the Christian life is all about glorifying God and enjoying him forever. And that's something that was my motivation, really, for writing this book.
I've found getting to know a lot of pastors over the decades since I've been a Christian, especially working in Christian media, working for a Salem network since the 1990s for 15 years. And having come from a Reformed Baptist church where I was saved, what I viewed very often was so foreign. And the things that Spurgeon was battling in the 19th century, denial of the infallibility of Scripture or the inerrancy of Scripture, a denial of the necessity and substitutionary nature of Christ's atonement, the denial of the existence and eternality of hell, the affirmation of universalism. Although many, if not most, evangelical churches would never say that they deny scriptural infallibility or inerrancy or deny the substitutionary nature of Christ's atonement or deny the existence and eternality of hell, and they would say that they do not affirm universalism, they act like they are guilty of all of those things, in my opinion. For instance, if they really believe in the inerrancy and infallibility of Scripture, why are many of their sermons filled with anything but Scripture, or very little, at least? And the way that they present the gospel, I don't think it's logically consistent with the idea of a substitutionary atonement provided by Christ. In fact, to be perfectly honest, I don't think that anybody but a sovereign grace-believing Christian can actually believe in a substitutionary atonement, even though many who are non-Calvinists claim that phrase as their own. And, of course, hell is not preached or rarely preached. And the way that the world is being told by preachers, Jesus loves you, died for you, and has a plan for your life, when they don't even know who the people are, is a thing that gives the comfort of universalism, even if the preacher doesn't really intend that. Am I making sense with any of that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and I 100% agree with what you said. I would even add to it that another major problem is sufficiency of Scripture, right? And
amen.
That was a big problem in my camp. You know, if Scripture is sufficient for life, if it is sufficient for all that we need to know about God, well, then why are people constantly seeking His voice to speak to them personally? You know, listening for the still small voice, or getting a vision from God, or a message from God. You know, if Scripture is sufficient, then why are you looking for those things? Why are you teaching those things? What you're saying is that Scripture is not enough, that there needs to be more. And that's the thing that I see over and over again with so many people, is they want more. They're trying, you know, Scripture is not enough. God's word is not enough. They want to see the supernatural things. They want to see the evidence, I would say, of the existence of God. And really, it's a lack of faith. It's a lack of having faith that God exists and God is good and God has spoken, and what God says is true and it is right and it is sufficient.
And what is it that you could go through some major ways in which, as far as your observance, even your own experience before you came to the doctrines of sovereign grace and found Celebration Church in Montrose, Colorado, but some of the specific ways where the church has really run off the rails, and in your book, how are you pleading specifically for them to return to biblical principles and Holy Spirit guided sanity?
Yeah, some of the examples that I that come to mind when you asked that, that I personally experienced during my time in that church. Of course, most of it would be as simple as saying that, that almost all the sermons that I experienced, I'm not going to lump everyone into the same boat, right? But at least in what I experienced, they were all very man-centered. The teaching was, it was all about you, and Christ was mentioned. You know, a verse was used as a springboard to get to another topic, right? And that topic was usually about you and how that you should be perhaps more like Jesus or a better person or, you know, a help to a benefit to society or those type of things. So God's name was very much, I would say, used in vain when it comes to that. There was times whenever, you know, they would say that at my particular church, again, they would say that if we had a good church service if the preacher didn't get to preach. people were speaking in tongues and jumping the pews and running around the building, you know, and they, oh, that's a good church service, you know. Well, the word of God was never proclaimed. So was it a good church service? Well, why do we come to church? I remember they would have, there were certain times when they would call people down to receive the gift of tongues. And people would come down to the front. I went down. I would go down to the front. And because I felt like I was insignificant. I felt like other people were better than me because God was using them and God would allow the Holy Spirit to let them speak in tongues, but he wouldn't let me. So there was something wrong with me. I always felt like I was broken, you know, like why is everybody else able to do this and I can't? And I remember going down front and people coming up and just trying to teach me, you know, just start moving your tongue, just start uttering syllables. You know, they would say that in my ear and I would refuse to do it. If this is real, you know, then I want to experience it for real. I don't want to make it up. And so there again, back to the sufficiency of Scripture, back to what is church about? You know, it's not about that stuff. We want to go to church to worship God, right? To learn about God. We want to go to church to be challenged by his word, to let it pierce our hearts, to let it change us into the image of God. We don't go to church to not hear a message. We don't go to church for other things. You know, so many churches have gone the wrong direction on these things, and they've made church about so many different things that church was never intended to be about. And you know, there's just a point in time where we have to realize that we really are still in a modern downgrade in America.
Amen. And we have a listener, David in Ada, Ohio. Do you think Chuck Smith and his movement, and he's speaking of Calvary Chapel, obviously, as well as dispensationalism and Arminianism, have caused a loss of biblical teaching of grace, i.e. causing a downgrade of the truth? Now, that's interesting how he includes dispensationalism in this complaint, but one of the first people that you heard the truth of God's sovereign grace from was John MacArthur, who remained a committed dispensationalist. Although he called himself a leaky dispensationalist, he remained so until he went home to be with the Lord. So I don't know if you would fully agree with that, but why don't you answer that in your own words?
Yeah. Chuck Smith, you know, I never really listened to him a whole lot. I know very little about him, but a lot of the things that I've heard when I did listen, a lot of what he said was good, you know. They still tried to share the gospel. A lot of it was the means that I would disagree with, and the way that he approached church membership, and you know, of course, being continuationist and all of those type of things. I think that those things can prevent, as I believe that the question had to do with grace. I believe that can prevent someone from truly understanding, because again, continuationism is going to go back to the sufficiency of Scripture. You know, I'm a start cessationist. That's where I'm at, and of course, I think a lot of people misunderstand what a cessationist is. You know, a cessationist isn't someone that says God cannot heal, or God cannot cause someone to speak in tongues, or God cannot do these things. A cessationist is someone that says that's not something normal. That was something that was reserved for the apostolic era, right? God is God, and God can do what he wants to do. But that's not a normal thing. It's not a gift that people can wield around today like a sword, you know. That's what we believe. And so Chuck Smith, of course, would not agree to any of those things. As far as dispensationalism, you know, there's different levels. I think dispensationalism at its truest level would be something that I would be very concerned with. If you go to seeing that God works differently with the Jews as he does with the Gentiles, you know what I mean? And that's what I mean by in its truest sense. But there's also different views of cessationism, dispensationalism, just like there's different views of covenant theology. You know, there's different ways to look at things.
In fact, John MacArthur, being a dispensationalist, the main enemies that he developed, some of whom were once his friends, were dispensationalists, because they taught an idea that all that one needed to have assurance of eternal life was a prayer that they sometimes even just repeated from a pastor's lips or a preacher's lips. And there was no need for bearing fruit in one's life to judge their faith to be genuine. And that was what the whole war was over with John MacArthur and predominantly dispensationalist pastors all over the country, and perhaps the world.
Yeah, that's whenever he wrote that book, The Gospel According to Jesus. Which I think is an excellent book. And again, that goes back to what I was telling you about that pastor that I was having a conversation with that asked if I believe in Lordship salvation, right? And a lot of people, again, don't really understand what Lordship salvation is. We had somebody leave our church, I think it was about 2 months ago, because my pastor got up there and he preached a sermon and he taught Lordship salvation and what it is. And these people, of course, thought, well, you know, that's trying to turn salvation into something you have to earn. And of course, that's a misunderstanding. There's so many misunderstandings about anything. That's why I try, you know, you have to be careful about what you say and about how you say it. And you can't always put everybody in the same boat. But yeah, of course, we know Lordship salvation has nothing to do with earning salvation, right? It all has to do with fruit, just as you said. Is there evidence that you are a Christian, right? Because there is this idea out there, and it was in dispensational circles, that you could be a carnal Christian, that you could pray a prayer and God would save you, and there didn't have to be any fruit at first. You know, you hadn't quite made Jesus the Lord yet, but you're a Christian. And so later on, you know, maybe there would be a time whenever that you would get there, right? But it's just not at the moment. And that was the whole idea. And the reason why MacArthur started fighting against that, and we're, I don't think he coined the term Lordship Salvation. I believe that was something that was an idea that was previous to that. But he made it more popular, right? And just combating those things, which did turn a lot of people against him. And, you know, that's not uncommon for MacArthur. He fought a lot of battles and did a lot of good things.
Amen. Well, thank you, David. You'll receive a free copy of the book that we are discussing, Compliments of the Publisher, Ambassador International. So please make sure that we have your full mailing address, and we will have Tear Down the Church, the Ideas of Man versus the Word of God, shipped out to you. We have to go to our midway break right now, and if you have a question, like to join David on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state or country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide for us financial support every single month automatically, on top of that, they give us the mind-blowing bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to our listeners, as long as those listeners mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. Whether you are purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you're purchasing jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you are having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your seminary logo, your denomination logo, your business logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain. The masters at custom jewelry at RoyalDiadem.com have really impressed me and blown me away, and I can highly, with all honesty, without exaggeration or hyperbole, say that they are truly masters of custom design jewelry. So if you are in the market for jewelry, please, not only for yourself and for the one for whom you are purchasing this jewelry, but also for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, please go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. That's RoyalDiadem.com. Before I return to my guest, Michael Husky, and our conversation on his controversial book, Tear Down the Church, The Ideas of Man Versus the Word of God, I have some important reminders for you. If you really love the show and you don't want it to go off the air, I'm urging you to please help us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical mailing address the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm, medical firm, or maybe it is just a special event that you wanted to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because of the fact that we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Celebration Church of Montrose, Colorado, I have helped people all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. And I may be able to help you, too. I've helped people find churches in the United Kingdom, in Canada, in Mexico, in Germany, in the West Indies, and all 50 states of the United States, and many other places that I can't think of right now. I've been helping people for years, decades, find churches that are biblically faithful spanning the globe. So no matter where you live, and I just remembered a couple of times I've helped folks in Australia find churches. So no matter where you live, just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question for our guest today, Michael Husky. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We have Gregory from Middle Island, St. Kitts in the West Indies. And I believe that his question may be somewhat off topic, but perhaps you have an answer anyway. I think John Piper was wrong to say that we are justified by faith alone, which is correct, but we don't get into heaven by faith alone. I think he ought to have said something like, we are justified by faith alone, but we don't. We are justified by faith alone, but we don't get into heaven with faith alone. I see. Okay. Do you agree with Gregory's statement?
Yeah. You know, as much as I love John Piper, and I do, there's a lot of ways that he helped me in my Christian walk. But he does have kind of a strange view of justification. I forget exactly how he states it, but it has something to do with there being two different justifications rather than one. And it's been a while since I've studied that, but I would disagree with Piper on that view of justification. Scripture is simple. It's not complicated. We are saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, because of God's grace alone, for the glory of God alone. It's found in Scripture alone. I mean, it's the five solas of the Reformation. It's very simple. Sometimes I think we overcomplicate the gospel. That's our tendency, isn't it? It's too simple. It's too simple, so we want to complicate it and make it more difficult. But it's not. God did not intend anything for us to be complicated when it comes to our salvation. Of course, when we start studying theology and doctrine and those type of things, we can get into some complicated stuff. But when it comes to the gospel, it's designed to be simple. It's a very simple thing. I would disagree with John Piper on his view of justification, at least for with the secondary justification that he teaches. And I would say that it's, justification is very simple.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that issue, and I am becoming more and more convinced that I've got to eventually do a program with somebody who's an expert on John Piper's view of final justification, because I've had a number of listeners send in questions about it, and I just have not studied Piper's view thoroughly enough. I've just heard about it anecdotally. So I don't know if I don't know if he's just using a poor choice of words by using the term justification in his view. I don't know if he's just talking about like what we see in Matthew 25, where Jesus is separating the sheep and the goats. And he's obviously not saying that the wonderful things that the sheep did are the reasons they're going to heaven. It's just a fruit of it. It's a fruit that they are on their way, and that they are true children of God, etc. And the absence of those things in the lives of the goats is just evidence that they don't have true faith, but I'm not really sure. But thank you, Gregory, for the question. And once again, if you ever locate a friend in the United States who we can ship a book you win to, so that they can mail it to you in the West Indies, let us know, because as I've said before, unfortunately, we cannot ship books to the West Indies because of the shipping cost. But thanks again for being a faithful listener. Let's see. We have Ronald in Aztec, New Mexico. And Ronald asks, In your book, do you include the horrible state of affairs with modern Christian music that is a sign of the decline of biblical integrity in many modern evangelical churches?
Yes. Yes, I do. And, you know, music's a very powerful thing. If you've ever studied how Arminianism spread, one of the ways it spread the fastest was through music, creating songs that espouse that theology, those ideas, right? Because it's very catchy. Music today, in a lot of instances, such as Hillsong and Bethel Church, Jesus Culture, you know, all these churches are heretical, and they have catchy tunes that are played on, you know, Christian radio, and so many churches, they're familiar with these songs, and so they just sing them, and perhaps innocently, not understanding the theology that's behind these churches and what they actually teach. But that, even if the song is theologically correct and it's from a church like that, it's dangerous. It's dangerous because what people tend to do is to want to hear more about more songs from these bands, more songs from these groups, and eventually they get sucked into listening to the preaching. And that's where they can really be deceived in a lot of ways. Satan uses that as a tool, and a very powerful tool. And it's something that we have to be diligent in being very careful about the songs that we sing in church. They need to be glorifying to God. You know, I've kind of got a rule for music, because my wife and I both do music at church as well. If the song isn't glorifying God, worshiping our Creator, worshiping our Lord, or Scripture, right? Straight from Scripture, such as the Psalms, which of course is worshiping God, then we don't want to sing it. I don't want to sing a song about me. I don't want to sing about anything else. That's not the purpose of worship. We come to worship our Lord and our Savior. And you have to be extremely careful when it comes to music.
We have a question from Celeste in Alamosa, Colorado. And Celeste asks, in your book, are you advocating that church members try their best to help the pastors see the flaws within these congregations that are guilty of the things that you are addressing in order to see the church change from within? Or are you more advocating that these disgruntled members who are upset over right reasons leave these churches in search of another? Or are you suggesting both, depending upon the circumstance?
I do address that, yeah. And you have to be really careful here. You have to use some wisdom when it comes to addressing your leadership in your church. There's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it, right? We never want to go behind leadership's back, even if they're wrong, and cause division in the church, because that would be just as bad or worse than maybe the bad theology that they're teaching, right? For you to do that, that's going directly, that's a violation of God, of what God wants you to do. So you have to be respectful for your leaders. You have to be respectful to your pastor, even if they're wrong. And sometimes they're not wrong. Sometimes you can be wrong, you know? And so Of course, we want to take everything and examine it to Scripture. And what does Scripture say? What does it mean? Not the ideas of men, just as my book says. You know, it's the ideas of man versus the Word of God. Sometimes pastors get their theology from Rick Warren, you know, and they want to have a purpose-driven life, and instead of a life that glorifies God in all things. And sometimes you do have to talk to your pastor respectfully, very respectfully, about that. You can't be divisive. You can't be angry. We do all things in love as a Christian, right? And there comes a time, even if you just can't get there with your leadership, that you may have to leave. But you know, again, you have to be very careful when it comes to these things, especially if your church is preaching the gospel. Now, if they're not preaching the gospel, if it's a church that's just heretical, of course, you need to flee from that church as quickly as you can. But if it's a church that's trying to be faithful to the gospel and there's some doctrinal or theological problems, it's okay to talk to your leadership. It's okay to talk to your pastor, again, with great wisdom, with great love.
Yeah, I would even say that if you come to the conclusion through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, that a church is heretical or a cult, I still think it is wise to approach the leaders privately and tell them exactly what you're thinking and why you're leaving. I mean, that could be a very way of evangelizing them. I do know men who were leaders in cults who got saved. In fact, some may not know this, Abraham Kuyper in the 19th century was a pastor, and he was made aware of his lost condition by, I think it was an elderly woman in the church, and he repented and became a born-again believer after he had already been a pastor. So God can do anything. One of my friends, whose voice is heard every day in an ad trying to raise raise funds for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, John Sampson, he is a former Word of Faith, not only pastor, but talk show host. And he got saved and delivered from that heresy. And he is a Reformed Baptist pastor and a cessationist now. But yes, and of course we have to remember the commands in the Scripture, like in 1 Timothy 5:19, do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it is confirmed by two or three witnesses, and the whole protocol for approaching people who have sinned against you in Matthew 18. I think that applies for pastors just as much as it does with the ordinary person. So
yeah, I would agree with that. I would only caution, the reason that I didn't say that was because we never know where someone is spiritually and if they're mature enough to approach a heretical pastor. If you are a mature believer and you know your Bible, then absolutely. But if God's just starting to wake you up and give you discernment, and you're just starting to realize that maybe this church that you're a part of might be heretical, I would caution against taking on a pastor in a theological debate, because it could lead to more confusion. These guys can be pretty convincing. So I just say it depends on who you are, and caution you if you are just coming out, just realizing what church that you belong to is not right.
And before I go to any more listener questions, which I will do during the last segment of the show. I want to make sure that you highlight things that you think are most important in what you've written here.
You know, the general gist of this book has to do with making Jesus Christ central in life, in teaching, in the church, in your workplace. Making Jesus Christ central in all things, learning to glorify him in all things. And, you know, one of the things that I bring out in the book that I think is very important that a lot of churches miss is all teaching should be birthed out of the gospel. I always like, if I'm teaching a class, I don't care if it's a marital class or a parenting class or whatever. It needs to have the gospel in it. It needs to be taught. A lot of times I'll just open up the Bible to a passage and exposit the gospel for the first 5 minutes. And that way we have a place to start. Because anything that you teach absent from the gospel, absent from Jesus Christ, is really only secular. You know, we try to Christianize everything. We stamp Jesus' name on all kinds of stuff because it sells books, it sells curriculum, it sells movies, it sells TV shows. But just because something says Christian on it and has a verse doesn't mean that it is Christian. Jesus Christ has to be front and center in all teaching. And all of life, and all decisions. And of course, that's not something easy. Because our sin nature always wants to draw us back into ourselves. We're always fighting the flesh. And we're always fighting distractions. We're the most distracted society, I think, that's ever existed. We've got things that are pulling us left and right. And pulling us in all the wrong directions. And it's so easy to get caught up in these things. And to forget what life is about. And life needs to be centered on Jesus Christ and his work and making him front and center in all things. And that, you know, that is the heart of what this book is about.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our final break right now. And if anybody listening would like to send in a question, I would do it now because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question is involving a personal and private matter. Let's say you have a grievance against your own church where you're a member, or perhaps you're even a pastor, and you have become disheartened by what's manifesting in your own congregation or denomination. We understand that things like that compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in His sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning in to Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
And don't forget that this program is also made for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime, very dear friend since 1991 and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell my dear friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, this program is paid for in part by my most recent sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, an annual sponsor that is so new we don't have their commercials yet. Christ the King Reformed Baptist Church of Niles, Illinois. If you live in the Niles, Illinois area and do not have a biblically faithful church home of your own, or if you have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, or if you are visiting that area on vacation or for work or for some other reason, please look at their website and pay them a visit. The website of Christ the King Reformed Baptist Church of Niles, Illinois is ChristTheKingRBC.org. ChristTheKingRBC.org. I also want to remind all men in ministry leadership that you are invited to my next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon. This will be held Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. My keynote speaker for the very first time will be Dr. David A. Harrell, who is pastor of Calvary Bible Church in Joelton, Tennessee, and he is also the author of a number of books. His keynote address will be on the theme of one of his books, Why America Hates Biblical Christianity. If you would like to attend this free event, if you're a man in ministry leadership, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line and include your full name, the full name of your church or parachurch ministry, its location, and the number of men who will be joining you. And there's a huge extra free bonus. All men attending are going to receive a heavy sack and possibly two heavy sacks of free brand new books personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, all absolutely free. And I hope that you will take advantage of that wonderful opportunity Thursday, October 1st, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville, Pennsylvania. Send me that email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. And we are now back with my guest, Michael Husky. We have been having a fascinating conversation on his book, which is Tear Down the Church, very controversial subject. And we have Ruby in Great Falls, Montana. And Ruby asks, do you think that one of the very reasons why churches very often fall into these horrible situations is that they are not a part of biblically faithful associations with other churches that are faithful to the Word of God, and therefore, sometimes when they're islands unto themselves, they beat to their own drum, and they wind up becoming corrupt?
I would say that that is a real problem. I don't think that's always the case. I believe that the very best model is to be a part of a good, solid association that holds other churches accountable. I know most churches, they call themselves autonomous, which I don't really like that term, but that's what most churches are, consider themselves. Yeah, they also hold to certain associations, but in my mind, a good church can stay a good church absent from an association if you have good elders. You have to have a plurality of elders and a good solid pastor. And among that group, each one holding each other accountable for what is being taught, the direction of the church, and so on and so forth. So, you know, God uses all things. So I hate to say that one way is right and the other way is wrong. But yeah, I like both models. So I wouldn't say that it's necessarily the reason that churches go astray. I believe there's a lot of other influences that are driving churches to go the wrong direction.
Yeah, of course you could be in a bad association of churches.
That's right.
And you could be in a horrible denomination. That all of those can be factors. And I believe Ruby was just saying, is this one of the reasons?
Yeah, it could be.
And of course, don't be too quick to judge a church that does not yet have a plurality of elders, as long as they believe that that should be their goal, because there are churches that are new, like even the one that I'm a member of. It's only slightly over a year old, and right now we only have one pastor, but our goal is to have a plurality of elders. Well, believe it or not, we're actually out of time, and I want to make sure that as briefly as you can summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
Yeah, most importantly, in my mind, is that we glorify God in all things, that we live life for Christ, that we make that our priority, no matter whether we're teaching in a church or working for an employer, or you're an employer that has employees working under you, we do all things to the glory of Christ. And, you know, it's, again, it's so easy to be drawn away from that because of all the distractions that we have in this life. But we always have to come back to that. So read your Bible daily, listen to good programs such as this one that make sure that you keep your mind focused on God. Listen to good sermons, get you some good podcasts to listen to, and glorify God in all that you do.
Amen. And for anybody who wants to find out more about Michael Husky and his writing, go to Michael Husky, and that's spelt with an E-Y at the end, michaelhusky.net. And of course, we don't want to forget about Celebration Church, celebrationmontrose.org. That's Celebration Church of Montrose, Colorado, celebrationmontrose.org. And Ambassador International, the publisher of Michael's book, ambassador-international.com, ambassador-international.com. Thank you so much, Michael, for doing such a wonderful job. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.